It was a Palm Sunday, but because of a sore throat, five-year-old Johnny had to stay home with a cedar while the parents and the rest of the family went to church. It was a beautiful service. Family came back home, and they were carrying several palm fronds, and Johnny asked them what they were for. People held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, said his father. And Johnny looked at him and he said, "Chucks, the only Sunday I miss, and Jesus comes to church." Laughter is good for our soul. Let's read the scripture this morning. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Amen. It is always very difficult for us to join the jubilant group when we have missed the reason for the celebration. And this was exactly Thomas's situation. He did not attend the church service that Sunday. For whatever reason, the Bible doesn't say. But in the evening, the rest of the guys came to him and said, "You missed it. You missed the Messiah. He came. He's alive. He talked to us. Jesus came. He's alive." Their joy, their excitement could not be contained. It was contagious. They could not keep it to themselves. They had to run to Thomas. They had to go and tell. And they thought that Thomas would have said, "Oh, hallelujah, what a blessing," and he would have jumped up and down. Instead, his reaction was total unbelief. What a response. And because of that, many people have labeled him Doubting Thomas. But let's study this a little bit. Have you ever thought or read about Thomas's life? What does the Bible say about him? The Bible says that he was a disciple of Jesus. And he was called the twin, Didymus. He had a brother. And the two names, Didymus and Thomas, are the same. One is in Aramaic and the other one is in Greek. He is mentioned in the book of John 3 times. Now, I don't know about you, but when I thought about his life, I thought, you know, I cannot discount his skepticism. Because there's been times in my lives that I have been there. And I have said the same thing he said, and perhaps you have too. Tell the truth, shame the devil. And that's where he was. You see, Thomas was there. The time that the disciples and the news came, saying that Lazarus was very sick, and then later on saying that he had died. And Jesus said, well, we should go over there. And Thomas was the one, we read this in John 11, that said, we need to go with him. In case he dies, we will die with him. Because by that time, the persecution against Jesus was really, really hot. And he loved Jesus so much that he was willing to give his life for him. So I don't think this nickname that we've given him, it's fair. In John chapter 14, Jesus attempted to comfort the disciples and to tell them, the crucifixion is coming. I am going to be leaving. These are the things that are going to be happening. But eventually you will come after me. And Thomas was the one who asked that poignant question. How can we follow you, Lord, if we don't know the way? Now, I'm sure there were many in that room or in that place thinking the same thing. Have you ever been in a meeting like that? Everybody's thinking the same thing, but no one would say anything about it. Thomas was the one who asked the question and said, but how can we follow you? I don't have the street address. I don't have a GPS. How are we going to get to where you're going? Now, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus said, like many of us say, oh, that is such a good question. I'm so glad you asked. But Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we have this revelation because Thomas asked the question. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. This is who he was. Thomas was very concerned. He cared about what Jesus had to say. And so, when all this happened, he was probably in shock. He hadn't been able to put it all together. He was still thinking about it. He cared for Jesus deeply, and he wouldn't allow anything bad to happen to him. And we have the proof of that. And maybe you have said, well, but his faith was based on tangible things. Things that he could see and things that he could touch. We're all human. Perhaps you and I too have been there sometime. Thomas's question made a lot of sense. His responses to me make a lot of sense. It reminds us of our humanity. It reminds us that at times we too lack faith. And so the day came where something amazing happened. They were all gathered together because you see, Jesus is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. So Jesus knew what Thomas's response had been. And one day when they had all gathered together, Jesus, even though there was a wall and a door and everything, Jesus comes right through because he's a spirit. He's able to move. And the first one he addresses is Thomas. And he says, come and see. Come and see and come and touch and come put your fingers right here. I hear people say, when I get to heaven, I got a list of things I'm going to tell Jesus, blah, blah, blah. I don't wait till I get to heaven. I tell him here. Because when I get to heaven, I don't want to remember this mess. I'll just be honest. I don't want to keep a record of anything. And when Jesus lovingly said, "Come on, Thomas, here I am. Come see. Come. You wanted proof and evidence? Here I am." Thomas fell on his knees, and instead he worshiped. Amen. He declared, he made the confession, "My God and my Lord." By then he didn't need to touch. For Thomas, the proof was in the pudding. By then it was irrelevant. He was in the presence of the resurrected Christ who had conquered the death and sin. Thomas had now moved into a different level of awareness. And he doesn't end there. Jesus then says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." He's talking about us. Now, I don't think that here Jesus was referring to some kind of gullibility. He was referring to faith. I want to remind ourselves that Christianity is not opposed to reason. We as Methodists believe in what is called the Wesleyan quadrilateral. It is a Wesleyan doctrine because John Wesley came up with it. We believe in the supremacy of Scripture, experience, reason, and tradition. It's okay to use our intellect. It's okay to reason, to ask the questions, to look back and see what traditions we have and what have we experienced in the past. And Thomas learned that to believe only according to what I see in the physical is just to limit one's perception. The words of Jesus to Thomas: "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe," suggest that for the future believers, us here, the spiritual perception would be enough. A Sunday school teacher asked the children, "How do you know that Jesus lives in your heart?" It's also a good question. I have people that are in their 60 or 70 saying, "How do I know?" And the little girl answered, "Teacher, you see, it is like the day I was flying a kite, and a man walking by thought I was wasting my time because he couldn't really see the kite anymore because of the sun glaring. And he said to me, 'Little girl, you're wasting your time. You cannot even see the kite.' And I answered him, 'Oh, but I feel the tug. I know Jesus lives in my heart, teacher, because I feel his tug in my heart.'" You see, when it comes to knowing Jesus, it is a personal thing. We got to know that we know that we know that we know. That we know. And the lessons that we could learn from Thomas's experience are more than a few. And one of them is that
to ask deep and searching questions is never a time of unbelief. Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask. It's okay to ask. Number two, that we as disciples must know what the Bible says and why do we believe it. So when other people ask us, why do you believe what you believe? We don't say, well, go ask the Sunday school teacher or the preacher. But we have an answer. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul told Timothy, be ready with an answer. Number three, in order for us to grow and mature, we need to have a teachable spirit, a desire to learn. I know there are people in the body of Christ who say, I know it all. I was born into the church. I've been sitting in the same old pew. My granddaddy built the church. With that kind of spirit, who can receive anything else? We don't ever stop learning. We need to have a teachable spirit. We need to be in connection with other people. We need to attend those Bible studies, those prayer groups, those small groups, accountability groups. Because, you know, in our humanity, we have a tendency to rationalize everything. And nowadays, especially, sin is not sin anymore. It's just an issue. It's okay. We need those people, those godly people in our lives that love us enough to say, sister, this isn't right. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be there for you. We need to be each other's brothers and sisters. And number four, we must be humble and willing to learn from others. 1 Peter 5:5. Because Thomas asked, because he went and he saw, his life was deeply changed. And around 52 AD, history tells us that Thomas sailed to India to establish churches there. And many lives were changed because of his obedience. Today, there are people like Thomas all around us, and especially now in the midst of a tragedy, asking the question, is there a God? And if there is a God, and you're saying that he's a loving God, why did I lose everything in my house? Can you show me where this God is? And all of us who sit in the same pew Sunday after Sunday should be ready to have an accurate answer. Not just with words, but actions too. We should be ready to say to those individuals, come and see. See what the Lord has done and what he wants to do in your life as well.